Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Let's grab a cup of coffee or tea, sit back and chat about what is going on in the astrology for the day. Today, we're going to primarily focus on human design, but we'll have some things to cover in astrology as well. And of course, as soon as we talk about human design, we also move over into the gene keys. So I would bet that there will be quite a few questions today about what I'm talking about. In fact, I'm banking on that. If we have some time, we may do a few card readings today as well, because tomorrow, Friday, we'll have the weekend to talk about and also several different things that are coming up for the weekend's energy. So maybe we'll do a few today and then we'll do a couple tomorrow. Good morning, Mimi, and good morning to everybody else who is just joining us. It looks like I've frozen. Well, maybe I'm not. Maybe I am. Let's see what's going on over here in Zoom. It says I'm live, so I'm going to carry on as if. So, hopefully, everybody had a great day yesterday. It was certainly a beautiful one here in the Pacific Northwest, albeit a bit windy and a bit chilly, but not so much so that I couldn't enjoy every minute of my day outside as much as I could. Today is also a beautiful day, not as windy. So I'm hoping that that holds through and I can do some more work in my yard. Certainly, everybody at home is doing that. Every time you go out, if I go for a walk, I see everybody out there planting flowers or pulling weeds or mowing or trimming. So, what is the result of the COVID-19? Well, we all have beautiful yards as we get into the summertime. So I hope that's happening for you guys wherever you are. And let's take a look at what we have going on for the day. As I wrote early this morning in the description of what this morning's show would be about, the moon in Aquarius isn't doing much of anything. That is because most of the planets are in back of the Aquarian planets or are far enough away that they aren't making any new contacts right now. But there is a couple of little things going on that I think are providing the tension, maybe the anxiety, the scritchiness, I call it, the irritation just beneath the skin of what is going on in on the planet at the moment. And that is because the moon in Aquarius has found itself in a minor square to both the North Node and to the South Node. So, our path of destiny, right? Our axis of destiny, with the North Node in Cancer representing the move toward home and family and more traditions, the setting up of a foundation, the ideals of security and safety, right? And that is all versus the South Node, the past. With the cup, right? The cup of the talents, the gifts, the experiences of times gone by in the sign of Capricorn, which is very business oriented, professional oriented, goal oriented, and also represents things like corporations and governments and institutions, including the medical institution, the institution of education, and all of these things that we think of as bigger institutional things versus the family on the other side. So we have government and we have big institutions versus family, sort of the smaller nuclear units versus the big units. So what does that mean for us? Well, for one thing, we're getting darn close to the end of that nodal axis being in the Cancer Capricorn part of the chart. May 5th, they transit out of Cancer and Capricorn and into Gemini and Sagittarius. That'll bring up an entirely different kind of destiny, a new conversation, perhaps some dangerous times, even perhaps as we have a clash of ideologies that occurs when we get into that particular stream. But right now, what we're clashing against, what we're straining against, are these new rules, the new way of being on the planet where we are constantly making sure we wash our hands, that we're not, getting social distancing. I had an experience yesterday that was too funny. Shopping for the first time since the end of February, early March at Costco. My kids had been doing any kind of shopping for me. If they were going to Costco, they were picking things up. Well, yesterday I wanted to go to Costco, and Yeah, not probably going to do that again real soon. Couple of observations. One, it was really nice not to have to elbow your way through the aisles to get to anything because they're limiting the number of people that can go in. And on the other hand, it was really nice to have people that were paying attention to how the lines were moving and directing traffic, as it were, to lines, helping people to make sure they got out of there the fastest and could stay the most distance from one another. But on the other hand, shopping in a world like that is unbelievable. For one thing, I just wanted to, people were trying to maintain social distance. They were trying. But then there were those of us like me who I was just wandering through. I wanted to pick up something, so I would just grab something. And then I went, I get it. There's lines. People are following this pathway through the store. And I was totally disrupting that pathway. And they were doing that out of the consciousness of that 6 foot or so distancing from one another, social distancing. But I would just park Terry out with the cart somewhere, and I would just run through the dairy or run through the vegetables and come back with my arms loaded and drop it in the basket. But everybody else was doing something different, so that was funny. So shopping in a new world, and that's just one little thing, right? What about working in a new world? What about all of the other things that we do on a daily basis and how much the world has changed? So as we're looking at the drawdown of this energy of Cancer and Capricorn, it kind of brings home all of the things that have changed, both in the way that we deal with family and home and what forms, what constitutes our foundation. And also then the impact that something as small as a little itty witty bitty bee virus has on the big systems, the social systems of the planet, and all of the changes that that is bringing. And I thought it was really interesting to watch how people are handling all of this. Some people are doing really well. They're just, bebopping along. But other people are getting really irritated with the stay-at-home orders. They want to get back to their lives. And I think a lot of that has to do with this tension now, these semi-squares and the sesquiquadrate square between the nodes and the moon that bring up that emotional, I'm caught, right? I'm stuck here. And a fear of what comes next, and also a fear of what happens if we stay here. And all of what that means in our minds, it's running through these old tapes. And I think a lot of times people are just really willing to go back. People are wanting to go back to the way their lives were. I don't know that it's really dawned on people yet that life can never go back, right? That things will not be the same. It doesn't mean it won't be a good life. It doesn't mean that, the changes aren't good changes, but we're creatures of habit and we like things the way they were. And we want to be able to go back. And I don't think it's dawned on people who are not working at the moment, perhaps, they're not an essential business and their business is closed down, that what they're straining after is meaning, right? And they have put all of those eggs of meaning in their jobs or in what it is they do in the world. And the concept of just being true to oneself, being just beingness. Is very difficult for us as humans, but we're getting a crash course in what does that mean for us and being helped by some of these transits that are going on with planets. And so that continues through the day to day. They're minor, right? So it doesn't show up in everything. It's sort of more underneath the surface, just that time when things are irritating to you, but you don't know why. Maybe you're having an emotional response. Remember, the moon represents our emotional self, our soul. And maybe on some soul level, we really do recognize that there's something new going on and we're not comfortable with it yet, right? We haven't really tried it on for size. So it drives sort of some of this conversation that's going on, some of this backbiting that's going on, some of the reactive energies that we see through the people that are in our world. Either in your personal world, but also splashed across the screen every time you turn on the news or every time that you pick up your telephone, it seems like something is happening like that. So we have to then turn to love and understanding of one another and the situation that we're all in. So applying love and understanding and gratitude for the position that you're for whatever it is that you have, and moving from there. Now, there's also another scritchy transit going on. It's really kind of in play today, even though it doesn't really perfect or get to exact until tomorrow. And that is Venus in a sesquiquadrate, which, as we talked about yesterday, the sesquiquadrate, the 135 degree angle between planets. So it's sort of the combination of a full on square, a 90 degree angle, plus another half of a square or 45 degree angle. So we get 135 degrees. And that relationship is sort of tension filled and sort of can't quite put your finger on what it is that's creating the tension. And this is between Venus and Jupiter. So, Venus, these are the two benefic planets, right? These are the good ones. These are the good girls and guys. The Venus, the goddess of love and money and fortune and values and beauty and harmony and peace. And then we have Jupiter, on the other hand, the planet of growth and expansion and largesse and generosity and magnanimity and seeing into the future. But they're coming together in a very scritchy sort of way, and they're kind of irritating to one another at this point. And I think here's where we feel like we want more from life, but we don't know what that means, right? We want more. We know that this is an opportunity. I think on some unconscious level, and maybe a lot of you already on a conscious level get that the COVID-19 virus or the coronavirus has created an opportunity of sorts for us, but we don't know quite what that means yet. And because it's lost in the devastation of people's lives upended and deaths and number of cases and all of that. So we can't quite yet put it into perspective. And we're worried about our relationships. We're worried about our jobs. We're worried about our money. So it's hard to see growth during a time like this. And these two planets are sort of showing us where that is in our lives. So watch out. What are you focusing on right now? Are you focusing on all the bad that's going on or all of the irritation that's going on? Or are you focused on gratitude? Are you focused on the lack of a job or the lack of being able to go out? Or are you focused on the gratitude for being with family or being having more time to yourself, being able to slow down? So we have these two different things that we're weighing in our own lives. And the two of these planets coming together this way sort of exaggerates the way that we react, the exaggerated expression of our feelings or of the emotional energy. And so we need to be careful here about how we're expressing that to one another and even to ourselves. Are we, and this is the part that really bothers me just a little bit about where we go next from here, because there's a real tendency with these kinds of transits, the Sun square Pluto that we had on Monday, the Sun square or Tuesday, the Sun square Jupiter we had on Wednesday, and now today we have this Venus semi or sesquiquadrate to Jupiter, that we can promise more than what we can deliver. So we are over-exaggerating or overstating what it is that we think we can do. And so are we overstating then the fact that we've reached the peak of this virus and then, everybody goes back to normal and we end up, which is so possible in the astrological signature, of a more devastating expression of this virus as we move into September, October, and November of this year, November and December. So we have to weigh, right? It's that weighing of the needs of the many and the needs of the few, the needs of the corporations and the business and the economy versus the needs of the people. And who's more important here, right? Who's more important? So all of that is going on. So we have to try not to be impulsive in what we do here in either direction, right? We don't want to be impulsive. We want to be considerate, and we really want to be open-minded and be able to really look at all the facets without coming down on just the one side, which is money, right? Money does not make the world go round. We've created that, but it doesn't really make the world go round. And that is also a part of the lesson here in our values, right? How did we skew our values to represent money and the collection, the amassing of money? And isn't it interesting that, where were all these trillions of dollars that are being released toward supporting the COVID virus, to helping the poor get housing, to helping the poor get food or jobs or anything else, right? It's funny just to see these millions and trillions and billions of dollars pouring in for these, for unemployment and for supporting of corporations and all of that. Where did that all come from? And why haven't we used that before in a way to support everybody? When we were strong, why didn't we use it to buoy up the weak? It bears asking that question. Irregardless of how you want to answer the question, it bears just stepping back and looking at that and going, if we have all these billions and trillions to do this, why didn't we use it before? Why didn't we use it for something besides de defense or building walls or keeping immigrants out, doing some of the stupid things that we've done, right? Let's start. Maybe we can rethink about this and use these dollars that we obviously have, at least in this country. I don't know about other countries, but what would it look like if we started to do things that supported people on an everyday kind of basis? It would be an interesting life. I think it would be so interesting. And I know a lot of you out there are already saying, yeah, but then people get lazy, right? If you're just going to give them money every month, then why should they work? Well, that's a good question. Why should they work? Are they human doings? Or are we human beings? Maybe it is the role of some people just to sit back and not do while the others do, right? Human design certainly shows us that with manifestors and projectors and reflectors that are not here to really do anything except what it is they're passionate about and when things are invited to them. So the world is a changing, and I think it's going to be difficult for us because we have so based our estimation of someone's worth based on what they do instead of who they be, right? What's one of the first questions we ask in a social situation? Well, what do? Where do you work? Where do you live? Right? All of that cues us into what your social stature is, that hierarchy, which again is also falling away in favor of synarchy, which is where we're sort of the round table of people all together in this world called Earth, and we're all equal, right? That's where we're headed. And it's going to be difficult to get there if we're fighting against it, which is our nature too, to sort of fight against change. But here we have this grand opportunity to become the true human being. Fun stuff, right? All right, I'm going to head over to Facebook, see how people are reacting to what I'm saying this morning. Kathy said, my kids used to say, write a check. That's where you get money, isn't it? Well, sort of. Yeah, right. Money is really all just paper. It has no real meaning. We lost that back in the late 60s, I think, when we stopped using gold as the standard. So we already redefined money. So let's just redefine it again. Alex, good morning to you. We haven't seen you in a while. It's great to see you out there. Deb Johnson, very interesting. Same here in Canada. Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, we are printing money. Isn't that illegal, Debbie? But kind of a fun thought. If you on Sunday night, there's a show on called The Good Girls, and I have to laugh all the time because right now that's what they're doing. They're printing money. They found the perfect recipe to print money, and so they're printing money, and they've gotten themselves into a fine pickle right now. And I just laugh every time I see it. Okay, so let me see. I want to switch over now to human design because we are entering into a new human design week. And the energies in the human design week, of course, drive the experiences that we're going to have, the shadows that are going to be apparent and the gifts that are apparent, and certainly the ability to reach to the higher expression of the energies in those gates. And I'm going to pull up the, I'm going to share my screen here in just a moment because I want to be able to pull up the chart of the human design week. Here we go. All right, so you all should be seeing this human design chart. And this is the chart that's called just now because whatever time I drew this up, this is what it looked like. So this is not a person. But your chart looks something like this, except you have red lines in combination with these black lines. The black lines are the energy of the sun in the moment. The red lines are always going to show you the energy that was in play at the time your soul joined with your body, which is about 88 astrological degrees before you were born. So that's why here, if I'm looking at a chart of the now, I don't need the red lines, right? So we're looking at just what is possible here in this moment. And I wanted to show you where we are now moving into the sun at the gate three. The gate three sits on the sacral center right down here, and it joins up with the root center at the gate 60. Now, Saturn is sitting at the gate 60, and the gate 60 is, and the gate three, this whole channel is a channel of evolution and mutation and transformation. And often this energy in this channel is completely and totally out of your hands. And that's exactly what we're sort of experiencing in the world. And this week, that particular mutation or mutative energy or evolutionary leap is quite present here in this channel. So this is the sun and this is Saturn. So the sun shining a lot of energy, a lot of light here, with Saturn holding the changing the form and the structure of our world and of our lives. So this is a very much important energy that we're holding right now. And I say we're holding, but it's not us holding it. It is actually much more out of our hands than that, right? This is the force of the creator, of source, of goddess or God. It is sort of it is sort of the path through which we've agreed to evolve. There we go. And now the earth is over here. We're still dealing with splenic energy, right? Up until the first week in May, we're going to be dealing with the energy that is on the spleen, which means it's instinctual, it's intuitive, its timing is in the now. And those gates double sort of as fear gates. So they can be paralysis points, places in our chart where we get stuck or caught because we can't move. We can't move forward. We can't move backward. We can't move side to side. We're caught up. So the gate 50 is the gate of values. And it is a very feminine energy. It is the role of the feminine to lay down the laws of the society or the culture or the tribe, if you will, the nation. The feminine energy states the values of the tribe and lays them down as laws, as rules, or as edicts, or as a constitution, for example, and then is depending on the masculine energy of the other side to actually enact that, to protect those values and to make sure that they are applied equally. So the gate 50 in human design and also in your gene keys is called the gate of equilibrium. So it is where things are equaled. And the sun at the gate three is the gate of innovation. So it is where the new is hatched. And here we have two channels connected up, right? They're connected together. So they pull these three centers together for us today. And this is the root center, which is the center for endurance and perseverance. What are you doing? And then we have the sacral, which is the center for work and service and doing. And then we have the spleen over here, which is the center for success, the success of the species, the survival of the species, if you will, where a society or a culture or a group is successful at surviving. Thriving would be another good word that we could use here. So it's interesting because now let's look a little deeper here at the gate three. The gate three is in its highest, the gate of innocence, where we see that all people, all everywhere are innocent, that there is a different, that the universal concept of right and wrong is completely different than what your human instinct is for right and wrong. We as humans base it on our laws and our regulations and our, the agreements that we make on how we are going to proceed in a lawful society. But the universe doesn't hold itself to those kinds of laws. There are bigger laws that are organizing principles of the universe. So the three brings us to that innocence that is when we are applying universal laws and not those little human laws. Not that human laws aren't important. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that this is a center that is adhering to a higher law than one that is developed by human beings. And in the lowest expression, so in the shadow, the gate three is about chaos. It is chaos. And here's an interesting thing, too, because the word chaos and the word cosmos are related. They're related, and that chaos was originally a word that was sort of the maelstrom of nothingness, where no form has yet taken place. And out of the chaos comes form. Right. So when we think about what was going on before the Big Bang, or we think about, out of the nothingness, which is just this sea of possibility, something which we could call chaos because it's unorganized, right? It's unorganized. There's no form yet. It's just formlessness. So we call that chaos. And in our personal expression of that, humans created chaos, right? And the chaos is when we can't handle the quiet or the nothingness, and we seek to make something out of that nothingness. And we can see that plainly going on here too, with people not working or staying home, our lives taking on a different definition right now, and our bucking against that formlessness, right? That formlessness. What constitutes your day if you're not going to work? Right. And I think it's funny because I'm watching how my husband and I are interacting, and I'm thinking, oh my God, is this a prelude to retirement? Right. And oh my God, what am I going to do with this man for every day, for 8, 10 hours of the day that he's been at work every day? Because right now he's like crazy. What do I do? So it's interesting to watch how that plays out. It's like getting a foreshadowing, a foretaste of what's to come. So, in the gate three, then, what we have here at the gate three is new genetic information that is rising to the surface. It's pushing up against the old genetic information, seeking integration. How do we blend the best of the past? We've been talking about this, right? This isn't new. How do we take the best of the past and the brightest and hopefulness of the future and bring it into a now? So we have that new genetic stuff coming up, our genes in that process of changing. And right now it's craziness, right? It's crazy making while we are seeking, or our bodies are seeking that integration of that new information. And in the center, we respond to work. This center is a center of doingness. And so we respond to work that is vital to transforming our world. So those people who have lost jobs are possibly in the position of mutating their entire working lives right now, because maybe the jobs that they had pre-COVID-19 aren't there anymore. And it'll be an interesting, right? People thinking they're going to go back to work, and maybe they won't, right? Maybe they won't. The world has changed. So here we have that need then for each of us to respond to what's most important for us, right? Transforming the very nature of what you do to be in alignment with who you are. That's going to be difficult because we are so identified with making money, right? Doing what we need to do to survive out here. So finding a new balance in doing what you love, and that being what sustains you or provides for you. And there's always difficulty in the beginning with this particular gate. Difficulty in the beginning because any mutation encounters that resistance of the old. And just think about when you, if you are a, and I've been in this position before, to be the new boss coming in to something, and all the people that you are now going to be managing always want to do it the way the old person did it, right? They're always in resistance to doing things, trying things in a new way, being in the new. Right. And so you have to find a way to still, while valuing the experiences and the expressions of the past, bring it up to date and do things in new ways. And it doesn't mean that you throw out everything that was good from the past. It just means you apply it in new and interesting ways. So there's difficulty in the beginning of anything that's new, getting everybody on board, getting everybody moving in a new direction. And that's what we're seeing this week. It's going to be a really interesting week with that energy in play. Now, remember, the sun is the point in human design at which we're moving towards, right? This is the evolution, if you will. It's sort of like the spiral of consciousness in our Pleiadian earth energy. And I just always think it's so interesting how the two of them kind of line up. So it's pushing us in a new direction. The earth, on the other hand, is the pressure point, right? The earth is in need of evolving toward the sun. And so it is the earth this week that we find is in an interesting place, I think, gate 50, which in the shadow energy is corruption. And in its gift is equilibrium, and in its highest expression is harmony. And here, the gate 50, again, right here at the tip of the spleen, is a gate of values and laws that are stored here, right? This is stored energy. And these laws, this energy at gate 50, it's aura busting. It pushes us to all line up and do according to the law. And when you're not doing what is according to the law, then you're an outsider, or you're a criminal, or you're not accepted, right? So it's an interesting energy, because here we are, with these laws and these values and these stated things, these regulations that we're all asked to conform to. But then there are these stragglers out here, right, that change, that don't want to obey the laws. And the laws, again, here are about how do we support one another. This is nurturing energy. This is teaching energy. This is energy that is ready, is doing things that support everybody to their highest and best. And as you can see, in many countries around the world, that is not the case, right? It is the highest and best for the corporation here in the U.S. In other countries around the world, it's for the tribal leaders. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer kind of thing, right? So we have misapplied the energy of values and laws in this gate. And so we are then in corruption in the gate 50. So what is corruption? Because when we think of corruption, we think of people that are, you know, doing things that they shouldn't be doing, that are skirting the laws, that are on the take, right? That's another word that we use, phrase that we use. But corruption in this gate isn't about specifically that type of energy. It's about where we've misread something. So you know how when you update your computer, right? Once a week, I think it is, pretty much Microsoft puts out an update, and Apple probably does the same thing for the Macs. You get these updates. And sometimes those updates don't work right, and it corrupts your system. So then maybe your programs don't work right, or something that used to always happen doesn't happen anymore. And so it's corrupt. There's a miscommunication in the information that's coming in. And so that corruption is about needing to go back and fix what's broken and moving on. It's the same thing that happens at the DNA level in your body. So at the DNA level, you have messenger RNA, you have DNA, and it is the job when the cell divides for the DNA from one cell to be translated to the new cell. But periodically, it gets corrupted for various reasons, right? Toxins in your system, toxins in the environment that pressure the system, and the message gets corrupt between one cell and the other. And we have devices within our cells to fix that as well, because that happens more frequently than I bet you know. And then that messenger RNA comes in, cuts out the old, puts in the new, fixes it all, and now the cell is back to normal. So same thing happens in societies, right? We have to fix what's been corrupted. If we're moving toward an equilibrium, an equality, an age of Aquarius, where it is about how do we support people power, then what is in the system right now that's corrupt, that's stopping us from doing that? We got to take that, cut it out, and then replace it with the new code so that we are, again, on the right track. So the values and laws are where that comes from in our human design, but also in a society. This is also a gate of love, right? It's far down in the spleen. It doesn't really sit at the identity center where we usually think of the gates of love being, but it's the love that sacrifices the self for the good of all. It is the love of a human being that sees a child getting ready to be hit by a car and they risk their own very life to run out, grab that child and move, right? Not even thinking about, will I survive this? It's about, you know, saving that child or that person or whatever it is. So this is a love that's sacrificing for the good of all. So what might we need to sacrifice as a society to become more in equilibrium, to become more harmonious? So these are all things that we're in consideration of as well. This gate is also the gate of pure instinct to take care of, to be a nurturer, to be in a caregiving situation. I'm going to go back to this chart for a minute because this chart actually shows us a perfect thing. And you guys, if you have your human design charts, you can check and see if you have this. Where was that gate? Oh, yeah, but you got to share first. There we go. Now, sometimes when we have this gate 50 defined and an open emotional center, so perfect example here. Here's an open emotional center. Open means it doesn't have any color in it, right? It's not defined at all. It's not connected to another center, so it's open, where these are colored in because they are connected through a channel, right? So they are defined channels or defined channels and defined centers, where this is an open center. So sometimes when we have the gate 50 defined on an open emotional center, we see people who are feeling guilty, right? Guilt here, the fear in this gate is, besides corruption, is the fear that we haven't done enough, that we haven't done enough to support our families, that we fear that if we let go, that they won't survive, right? If we let go. So guilt, when we see an open center here and we see the gate 50 defined, can show us where we feel guilt about not being enough or doing enough for our family or our friends or the people that we care about most. And of course, that could lead to over-nurturing, over-mothering, smothering, etc. So we got to watch that here in this gate this week. And if you're feeling guilt about how or how much you've done for other people, we also need to recognize that every person is responsible for their own selves and for empowering themselves to go out in the world. All we're laying here is the terms, the support structure for them to go out and do that. It's like raising a child, right? You give them structure, you educate them, you feed them, you clothe them, you give them the space to grow up and become the expression of their own self, and then you let them go. But 50 sometimes has trouble letting go, right? They feel overly responsible for everything that's happening to everybody around them, especially when they have an open emotional center. Okay, so that was just an aside, but some people might know their human design charts well enough to see that. Okay, back to Facebook. Questions, comments. Sue McCarthy, what does it mean if you have a black and red line from 50, but it only goes halfway across? Great question, Sue. So when you're looking at your personal human design chart, you're going to see that you have two columns of numbers. One column is black and one column is red. So when you see a gate or a channel that is striped that has both red and black, it means that you have a planet sitting at both sides. So for example, this happens often with the outer planets. Let me see if I can bring up a human design chart. Sue, did I give you your chart? Let me see something here. I don't know. I don't think I have another chart. Let's see. That's that one. Let's see if I can just bring up somebody's chart here randomly. course, I'll bring up a chart that doesn't have this. So let's just take a look here at this chart. So I'm going to share my screen again. Okay, so first thing you notice here is you have two columns of numbers. And these columns of numbers relate to the black side is about your soul purpose, and the red is about your life purpose. So this is a date that is astrologically about 30 day, or 90 days before the date you were born. So this person's chart born May 15th. The February 15th was the date their soul came to be in the body. Now, when that translates over to this chart here, you see that there are some columns that'll show up just plain red, others that are just black, and then others that are striped. So here we have a striped column in this person's chart. And what it means that there are two planets at least that are sitting here. One is going to be from the column in the black, and one's going to be from the red. And if we look, the gate 21 is this person's Jupiter and also this person's moon. So here's the gate 21 here, and that's what this gate is, 21, and also down here at Jupiter. So this particular person is dealing with growth and expansion and what drives them at the gate 21, managing resources. So anything that's hanging means it's not going all the way across. So the energy here in that gate plays out when you connect with other people. So a hanging gate is where you are electromagnetically attracting to you people that have the opposite energy. So this gets activated for her when a planet transits over gate 45, or if she has anybody in her life with the gate 45. So Sue, in your chart, let me stop sharing for a moment. That means that you, if you have a hanging gate 50, that is only going to be activated when somebody with the gate 27 is in your world. Or like right now, let's go back and look at our chart of the day. This one. What's sitting at gate 27 right now? Is the planet Uranus. So there may be some upsets or some unexpected things happening in your caretaking world, in some things that might be surprising, how maybe you're learning lessons about your kids and how you've raised them, and maybe feeling guilt or overly responsible for what's going on with them right now. And other people in your life. It could be, oh, hello. It could be your parents. It could be your anybody that's in your life. So the gate 27 is the planet Uranus. You're awakening to some kind of new value system, perhaps, or something like that, because that channel now is complete. But that's only going to happen for another few weeks, as Uranus in May is going to change gates. And that'll be noteworthy for us to know next month. Okay, so I hope that answers your question, Sue, and anybody else who has that kind of a question about what it means to have a striped gate. Does it matter what planet is sitting in the gate 50 to the kind of guilt you will feel? It could be. Asa says, I have 50 defined and open emotional center, and guilt has been a big issue and something I have been working on most of my life. So Asa, tell me what planet sits at the gate 50 that is being activated for you. Sue says, so I have both red and black for Neptune. So your spiritual job then is about values and about making sure that you're clear in living your truth, right? Living, walking your talk. So when we're living from our values, you are having to really, the spotlight is kind of on you in this life spiritually. So if you're saying that this is the way that you want to be, but your life isn't the model of that, then you need to correct that course or else you're out of integrity. So that may be what that is. So Venus, your ruling planet, Asa, right? So Venus is sitting at the gate 50. So a lot of the guilt that you may take on is about other people in your life and how you've taken care of them or not taken care of them. And that can be a really dangerous thing for you to look at, because I'm sure as a mother, you did your best raising your children and teaching them right from wrong, feeding them, clothing them, nurturing them. And then, I mean, the idea is to get them to a point where then they can go out on their own. But guilt Maybe you feel like something happened during your raising of them that makes you more responsible for their misdeeds now, or for how they're not thriving now. But you did your very best, right? You taught them right from wrong. It's now up to them to express that in the world. And without you being the one that has to keep reminding them of that, or keep saving them, there's like maybe a savior kind of thing going on here that you just don't need to be engaged with. And I hope that helps. Hopes that makes a little more sense for you. And the fact is that that this may translate from where you felt not nurtured, not valued in your own childhood, and maybe some in visible agreement that you made to yourself that this isn't the way that my kids will be raised, right? That then you decide to go overboard in overcaring and over caretaking of other people in your life. Does that make sense? Okay. Debbie Tibbetts, two meal. What is the difference between having a striped gate and a half and half gate? The difference is a striped gate means that there's more than one planet sitting on that particular gate, or it could be a planet that's an outer planet, like Pluto, for instance, that doesn't move very quickly, that was sitting there on the day you were born, as well as sitting at that gate 30 day or 90 days earlier. So you could have a planet, one planet sitting both in the red and the black. That just puts more emphasis on the nature of that particular gate. But a hanging gate is always going to be, no matter whether it's red or black or striped, is going to be where you play out that energy with the other people in your world. And or it gets expressed when a planet moves across the opposite end. Amy, I can't find my human design chart this morning. Might have to find it and rewatch after I thaw out. Chilly morning in Tucson, hiding under my heater blanket. What constitutes a chilly morning in Tucson? I just have to know. Inquiring minds have to know. So, okay, great questions. I love it when you guys do this. Great questions. And hopefully everybody's kind of understanding. You know, human design, it's different, right? It's a completely different animal compared to astrology, even though there are similar components, right? We still have planets. We still talk about the relationship of these planets, but we think of them in a relationship to the other transiting planets, or to the energies of other people that you will attract to you. In fact, you could think of your hanging gates as little magnets, right? That are hanging there, waiting for them to be expressed when someone else comes into your life that has the opposite energy. And that someone could be another planet, right? In the case of the 50 and the 27, right? We have Uranus that's been sitting at 27 for a while. And now, right now, it's connected to the Earth. So we have the Earth at gate 50 in a sort of connection to Uranus. So now you can sort of see upheaval going on the planet. And how does this affect our laws and our relationship to regulations? I mean, there's a lot of constitutional stuff going on in this country. Maybe other countries you're experiencing the same thing, where people want to flaunt those rules and those regulations, or be the king of the world instead of the president of the world or of the United States. And how all of that is like up in our faces right now. And it will be up in our faces for a while until we understand that we've not been living in accordance to our values. Right? What are our values? Maybe redefining them even, so that we can then begin to really live according to those values. The values from the feminine, which is the one that generates the laws, the rules, how we're going to live, are all about the caring, the nurturing, and the feeding of the weakest links in our society, which are usually the elderly or the young. And how are they going to be educated? How do we set up the model for how we treat one another in the world, right? All of those things are the path of the mother, the path of the feminine. So it's very mothering energy there, and somehow we've allowed the masculine to take that over, and you see the result, right? It's utter chaos because the feminine isn't in charge anymore of what it means to nurture people, of what it means to make sure people are fed, to make sure children are educated, et cetera, right? It's upside down. So we have the masculine over here trying to do the laws and protect and execute the laws. but things are screwed up and that's about to change, right? That's what the big transformation really is about putting to rights these big energy domains so that the world is again in equilibrium, equilibrium. Amy, well, it's 66 degrees at the moment, so maybe I just need to go outside. My house really holds the cold. I think it was in the 40s overnight. Yeah, I guess for you guys that would be cold, right? I'm trying to figure out what it is here. Where's my weather? I've had to bring my plants in at night because it's still too cold at night to leave them out. Right now it's 52 outside. So overnight it was 45. So yeah, chilly. And I think you guys are getting rain too down south where we're not. We're getting sun. Okay, Debbie Hedden. Oh my, I've missed so much due to interruptions. Great information. We'll have to watch to get it all. That's no problem. And of course, if you have any questions, you can certainly ask. Okay, let's see here. Before the day or my time here is expired, let's talk about the next thing, which is our Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. And of course, I'm always fascinated by how the Pleiadian Earth energy sort of aligns with what's going on with the moon or some of the other transits or your human design energy. So today is 12 exploring energy. So we're getting close to the edge of the week, right? Because we are on a 13-day spiral of consciousness. That first day was breathing energy. Breathing energy was about new ideas and new things coming in. Where, you know, the wind, it's breathing, right? The breath in, the breath out, and how things move and shake and change. So that was the energy of the week. That was our overriding, our umbrella energy. Well, today we've reached 12 exploring energy. And exploring in the Mayan calendar was Ben, and Ben was represented by a reed, and how the need of the reed was to be yielding, to be able to bend, but if it was too rigid, it would break. So here we have this idea of exploring energy, reaching out beyond us, you know, bringing in new information, and understanding helps us to understand everything that has come before. So the 12 energy, the day today is about looking back over this previous 12 days and what have we learned? What are we continuing to learn? What are we integrating, right? What are we integrating in preparation for the completion that comes tomorrow with the 13 energy? And then in preparation for Saturday's one energy. And what, you know, can we close up the lessons from the previous 13 days and ready to go up on the next level of our spiral of consciousness? There's an energy of self-renewal in the air here today with maybe rejuvenation energies or, you know, letting go of the old so that we can accommodate the new. Keeping the things that make sense and that work and in favor of blending them perhaps with the potential of the new, but very much staying in the now. So we have to let go of the past and we also have to let the future fade away because it's not here yet in favor of being right here in the now. And that means that when we're in the now, then everything is fine in this moment. Or if it's not in this moment, we deal with that consciously in the moment. Exploring energy now is about new ideas. So new ideas, new possibilities that are showing up in our world as well. We're reviewing all our options, all of the possibilities, discerning the differences that we have with more clarity, making decisions based on that clarity and not those gut reactions, right? The emotional knee jerks. And then releasing the old thoughts, the old ideas, in inviting in the new, right? Inviting it in. And then a knowing should be dawning upon us that anything is possible. Anything is possible, especially when we allow our hearts to guide us and through the ever-changing landscape of our lives and of the world, allowing the heart to guide us. So many times it's the mind that guides, and the mind is not a place for making decisions. I don't know how many more times and how many more ways we have to get this lesson because the mind is only awareness. It has no energy for doing. It's only about thinking. And thinking isn't about doing. The centers below the throat in your human design are where the real juice is for doing, not the head. So we have to get our hearts engaged here because our hearts will always lead us in the right direction through that ever-changing world that we live in. So interesting day. Tomorrow, of course, we end up at the 13 and we'll be in completion of what started back with one breathing, which was 12 days ago. I don't even remember what the... It's so funny because I hardly know the Gregorian dates anymore because I'm so into these. That would have been on April 5th. So what began for us on April 5th comes to a close tomorrow at 13 healing. So tomorrow should be an interesting day for us too. And we prepare for what comes next, which is one seeing. So we have a lot to talk about tomorrow in regards to that. Okay, so I'm going to take a last look back at questions people might have before I end my show this morning. Whoops, there we go. Asa, yes, that helps and it makes total sense. I see it in me and it has made me ill in the past, but I have major changes. I'm much better now in staying in my lane. That is an excellent way to put it, Asa, staying in your lane. What is her name? Her name went right out of my head. Byron Katie. She says very clearly, what's my business, God's business, and your business. And so many times we blur those lines between what is our business and what is your business, meaning what is your personal business versus what is your husband's or your kids or your friends or your employer's business, right? We blur that line. And when we cross over it, then we're being busybodies, right? We're getting into someone else's business. And then if we're taking responsibility for that, then it's going to make you sick because it isn't yours, right? Yours was when you were raising your children in this case, or when you were creating the space for education and laws and rules and how will this family be run, etc. But now if they've all moved on, it's their job now to set that up for their lives. And now you are really just in support of whatever happens with them. So there we go. Okay. Any other questions? You guys can certainly email me. I will see you tomorrow morning. I can't even believe it's Friday. The time just sort of goes right now in such weird ways. Like, I don't even know what I've done this week. Do I need to know? I guess not. In the meantime, everybody take care. Have a wonderful day. And, you know, embrace the new. Embrace what's happening and be in wonder, perhaps, of what comes next, right? But stay here in the moment as well. Take care, everybody. Bye for now.